Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Keith Poole, who is the Philip H. Alston Professor in the Department of Political Science at the School of Public and International Affairs at the University of Georgia and Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the University of California, San Diego. He's the author of Polarized America, The Dance of Ideology and Unequal Riches, Ideology and Congress, and of Congress, A Political Economic History of Roll Call Voting. Welcome to Background Briefing, Keith Poole.
Thank you.
And clearly at this point, the Senate is taking the lead in trying to avoid the default. The president has canceled his meeting with the congressional leaders in the White House on Monday and is now, he was actually being out at a charity event, and pretty much, I guess, the impression we all have is that everything is pretty much in the hands of Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell. But then what happens with the House?
It's going to depend a lot on whether or not there is enough in the compromise for, say, to get 50 or 60 votes in the caucus, Republican caucus. Or it might go down on the floor if it gets to the floor. So they're going to have to, whatever deal they strike, there's going to have to be enough in there for the, I guess you might call the sane group, which would be the normal conservatives over to the remainder of the party. So you need to get probably enough 100 or more of the Republicans to go along to get it passed. And so far, they have been pretty closed-mouthed about what's in this deal. And so till we know a few more details, it's not clear whether or not it'll get through the House or not.
Well, since you are a student of polarization in American politics, Keith Poole, give us the Keith Poole meter on where things stand. Has it ever been this bad?
No, this is the worst it's been since the end of the Civil War. So that this is the worst, the most polarized the system has been since the era of Reconstruction, which was after the Civil War up to about 1876. We've never seen the two major parties divided to this extreme, and indeed, just since the last major shutdown, which occurred under Speaker Gingrich in late 1995 into 1996, the Republican Party has moved significantly to the right, to the point where Gingrich would be, if he still served in the House, would be in the left side of the caucus. So that's how dramatically Republicans have shifted to the right just in the last 20 years. And that means it's just extremely difficult to do any wheeling and dealing and horse trading because you're dealing with a very large group of true believers.
So in terms of the presidency then, as a historian, Keith Poole, have you ever seen this kind of disrespect and disdain voiced and regularly spewing out?
Well, it was pretty bad under George W. Bush, who was widely vilified. And then before that, the last few years of Bill Clinton, Clinton's presidency was pretty conflictual. So this has been building up over quite a span of time. In contrast, the first George Bush, people liked, widely liked, so that the last three presidents, which interestingly enough is the first time since the sequence of Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and James Monroe, that the U.S. has had three two-term presidents in a row. We've had this slow build-up, and it really shot up under President Bush, and then President Obama has not gotten a break in that the Republican support for him started out about 30% and went down to 10% and hasn't moved.
So is there an explanation for this to your mind?
There is a lot of things that have contributed to this. Some of this is just a very perverse, it's like in a public address ceiling when you get a squeal, like a feedback. Part of this is just a feedback, but there are two major things that have contributed to it. First, all the white Southerners switched to the Republican Party. It took about 35 years to do that, but they have. And that means that the old Southern moderates that used to be kind of the balance wheel, I'm talking about post-Jim Crow, post-civil rights laws. In other words, the Sam Nunns and the Jimmy Carters have all been replaced by conservative Republicans. And then the other thing that has dramatically altered the Republican Party, in addition to that, was the Goldwater campaign in 1964, and that created this nationwide network and cadre of conservative activists. And a good example of that is Newt Gingrich. And they just slowly took over the Republican Party at the grassroots and almost across the entire country, practically. And that has shifted the party dramatically to the right. And then the disappearance of the Southern Democrat moderates has made the Democratic Party more homogeneous. So even though the Democratic Party hasn't really shifted to the left that much, most of the polarization is being produced by the Republican Party shifting to the right. We're now in really, really deep trouble because not only do we have a really sick economy, but there just aren't any deal makers left like Robert Dole and Chuck Percy and that group of leaders. They're not there anymore.
Again, I'm speaking with Keith Poole, who's the Philip H. Alston Professor in the Department of Political Science at the School of Public and International Affairs at the University of Georgia and Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the University of California, San Diego. He's the author of Polarized America, The Dance of Ideology and Unequal Riches, Ideology and Congress, and of Congress, A Political Economic History of Roll Call Voting. Now, but surely, first of all, we've never had a default. If this happens in the next couple of days, it will be a first time in history. Is there any precedent for this kind of government by extortion, holding the gun to the head right up to the point where, you know, you're about to pull the trigger and the whole global economy is like to take a massive hit? I, frankly, have never heard of it and seen it before. Is there anything approximating this in your historical research?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. We didn't start doing this debt ceiling until World War I. And before that, the United States never had a so-called debt ceiling type arrangement. We've had a lot of confrontations between Congress and the President and over budget issues, but the 2011 and now the 2013 crises we've had sort of conflicts over raising money before, but in the context of this hyperpolarization, I would say that this is unprecedented and extremely dangerous, yes.
So what has changed then in polarization? We don't need to go back to Reconstruction, but let's just take the post-war era. A lot of people say it's the 24-hour news cycle, it's gerrymandering. Is there any one explanation?
No, there's no one explanation. We just had a piece in Bloomberg on gerrymandering. It's pretty clear it's not gerrymandering. I think one of the things that's been going on is that every single issue, from raising taxes to immigration to gun control, gun rights, every single issue now is voted on in Congress on liberal conservative terms. What's happened and what's new in this period of American history is that there are no cross-cutting issues left. That is, issues that used to divide the parties internally and therefore dampen down conflict. Now, for example, it used to be that there were pro-life Democrats and pro-choice Republicans on abortion, and with the exception of, say, local officials, that's pretty much disappeared at the national level, so that abortion now is essentially an issue that at one time divided the parties and no longer divides them. So all these issues now are reinforcing this division. And then there are some deeper issues, namely the rise of income inequality has exacerbated this. And furthermore, there's now very, very solid evidence that there's a tremendous amount of sorting, geographic sorting has taken place. So that, I think his name is Bill Bishop of the Austin, I think it's Austin Daily Statesman newspaper, wrote a book on the Big Sort. But there's also been a lot of work since then that shows that people, Democrats are now concentrated in the cities and parts of the suburban rings, and Republicans are concentrated in rural areas and parts of the suburbs, and more people are sorting out. So that, say, if you want to put a flag on your house, you're very uncomfortable living in a neighborhood where you don't see very many flags. The biggest, one of the biggest things that are dividing people are religion and whether or not believe in traditional marriage. So that, and with the multiplication of media outlets, you can pick the news and the reinforcing information that you want. And so this sorting is exacerbating things tremendously. And people aren't exposed to other points of view. So I'm not sure, you know, I don't have any easy answers for you because it's a dynamic process. We're in the middle of it. It's not clear exactly how it got started, but it seems to be getting worse with every election.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed, Keith Poole, is that this business of primarying people, where the primary election is more important than the general election, particularly it's happening now on the Republican side, and how special interest groups primary candidates and knock them off. Now, you mentioned Senator Chuck Percy. He was knocked off and very, you know, he was chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He was knocked off by the Israel lobby, as was Senator Fulbright. So those were the only examples that I could think of through most of the post-war period, but now it's routine, it seems, where special interest groups like the Club for Growth and others are going after people or threatening people. So has that changed? In other words, going back to Fulbright and Percy, it seemed to be unusual that a special interest lobby group would be able to run somebody against them and fund them in unlimited ways, as AIPAC did, to get rid of the two chairmen of the House Foreign Relations Committee that they didn't like back during the Vietnam War and after. Has that become more of the norm?
Yeah, it seems to be. It seems to be more of a norm. One of the what people forget, like my Depression era parents had these sayings. One of them is, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions." And one of the reasons why it's easy for these groups to get all to go after people in primaries is that McCain-Feingold messed up a perfectly good campaign finance system, namely the soft money. And the soft money went to political parties for the most part. And having all this money now sloshing around in the system that's not under direct party control means that it's a lot easier to go after incumbents in these party primaries. That's clearly one of the causes of this. And if, for example, if the parties had more control over the money, you wouldn't have gotten, you know, Mike Castle would have been elected in Delaware, for example. So, yeah, I think that is one of the things that's happening. But it's hard to disentangle that from this process where people are becoming more sorted out, more, and the activists are getting more and more extreme over time. And, again, this is one of these, it's a feedback type of effect that one thing happens and it reinforces another thing, and around it goes.
Well, Keith Poole, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
You bet.
Again, I've been speaking with Keith Poole, who is the Philip H. Alston Professor in the Department of Political Science at the School of Public and International Affairs at the University of Georgia and Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the University of California, San Diego. He's the author of Polarized America, The Dance of Ideology and Unequal Riches, Ideology in Congress, and of Congress, A Political Economic History of Roll Call Voting. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Colin Black. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back a week from today, next Monday. I'm going to Australia tonight for the premiere of a film that I made for the BBC in 1968 that was shown once, then destroyed because it was too controversial. Fortunately, the director of the film recently discovered a print of the film, and the documentary was reconstructed by the ABC in Australia. It'll be shown for the first time in 45 years at the Sydney Opera House this coming Thursday night. And I'm lucky to have, as a substitute host this week while I'm away, one of the world's leading media and culture critics, Toby Miller. He'll be sitting in for me this coming week, and I'll be back again a week from today. Bye for now. Took the kids to the park and disappeared.